Hey, how's it going?
Hello, thank you. Yeah, can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
All right. So as people can hear, I've got another guest. I've got Ultimate Fighter 27 contestant, John the Machine Gunther. How are you?
Pretty good right now. How about yourself?
I'm not too bad. I'm just enjoying the World Cup. It's on at normal time over here in the UK.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So how's things?
Not so bad. I finally got done with alpaca shearing season, so I'm back to training. And
yeah, that's one of the things I was gonna speak to you about. How is the from day to day life to from alpaca shearing to fighting? How did that come about?
I've been doing like jiu-jitsu and stuff since I was little. So, and then as soon as I saw this MMA thing, I was like, this is amazing. I have to be doing this. And so I just started. But alpaca shearing, it's only seasonal. So it's like 3 months and then I'm done.
So you get the best of both worlds. You can have a job for 3 months where you take 3 months off of training and then you get 9 months to train.
Yeah, that's the way it should work ideally.
Yeah,
you kind of shot me in the foot for this thing, but because the timing wasn't the best, but yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, they're completely different worlds, obviously, from your normal day job to training when you are in your alpaca shearing. Obviously, we've seen the clip on the Ultimate Fighter of you doing it. Does that help at all with like having to, when you're wrestling alpacas and stuff?
I actually couldn't shear it. They were like, hey, you better have a clip of you shearing. And I was like, I want to wrestle alpaca shearing because it's winter. So I just took like a llama down and trimmed his teeth. But yeah, sometimes you get these wild, crazy llamas that like, they're just humongous and they'll just, you grab hold of them, they just drag you through a field. So it kind of gives you a little bit of confidence. Like, hey, if I can take this beast down.
Cause it's just like a small horse.
Yeah. So sometimes it's good, but they're also not as smart as humans. So.
My girlfriend wants to know, she loves alpacas and llamas. Are they as nice as what you see?
Alpacas are usually pretty friendly. Like they're actually like super, well, it depends. Like if they've been handled, they're super friendly. They'll come up and nuzzle your face and they're really cute. But if they've not been handled, like sometimes the males are like vicious animals. They'll spit this green slime and scream and bite each other and stuff. But
yeah, it doesn't look too pleasant when they spit.
No. If they've been handled, they're actually really nice animals.
Right, good stuff. So, we're going to talk about your pro career and a bit about your amateur career as well. Obviously, you're not used to losing. You had an 8-1 amateur record, and it wasn't, well, to me, with injury, it's not really a loss. Because obviously, your only loss on your amateur was you had to stop through injury.
I think the amateur, actually there was like, I don't know, it was like 11-2 or something is what it ended up being.
Tapology.
So I actually had another one. Dobson, the one I got cut, I got stopped on injury. I went back, I got that one back. He's actually a really tough guy. I train with him now. I actually had a loss I took right after alpaca shearing season. I had just got back. I was all fat and I hadn't been training at all, you know, because I'm just shearing and eating junk food every day. But then they were like, hey, you want to fight? It was like one day notice because his guy dropped out and I was like, yeah, I'll fight him. So I did really well the first round. And then the funny thing is, I was like gas. I just laid on him once I took him down, and then he got back up in the second round, and I got pieced up on the feet, and then I was being a little smarter, keeping my hands up the third round, and he actually caught me in a choke and choked me unconscious.
Oh.
Just like my tough fight. So.
Yeah. See, yeah. I wanted to speak to you about that as well. Obviously, mistakes happen. It's the fight game. People make mistakes. Do you feel it was a mistake on your behalf, or that Joji and I just seen an opening there to get that choke? Have you watched it back at all?
It is a mistake on my part, just because, but I do it every fight, you know? You get away with bad habits, sticking your head in there. I like to stick my head there because I'll hit, like, foot sweeps and stuff off the cage.
Yeah.
So, you wouldn't believe it from the show, but I'm actually really hard to choke. But, so I usually can get away with it, but it's a bad habit, right?
Cause yeah.
You end up with a little taller guy with a little thinner arms and.
Yeah. It's longer arms. People find it a benefit to have. Well, obviously the reach is massive in the fight game, but, yeah, like you said, when you've got long, skinny arms, it's easier to get in chokes, whether they're rear naked choke or guillotine chokes.
It's just something a little different about the angle, and boom, it just was deep, fast. I wasn't worried at all. I thought, like, oh, this is going really well. I got him against the cage. I'm taking him down. This is going to be a fast fight. And then I wake up, and I'm looking at Stipe, and then I'm like, that's the ceiling above him. That's not good.
But the thing is, even though obviously you didn't get the result on tough, you were still so humble. Obviously, like you said, you were thinking it was going well, and then all of a sudden you were looking at the ceiling. But in your interview afterwards, you were like, I can understand like disappointment from your side, obviously, because you didn't get to showcase your skills and showcase what you're about as a fighter, because obviously it finished so quick.
Yeah, I was super glad that I was able to get that second fight. That was,
and that could.
Although now people watch both fights and they're like, oh, this guy has no jiu-jitsu and he has no striking.
The thing is, you've got the heart of you're an absolute warrior. Like I was going to say to you, obviously, your nickname is the Machine. You should change it to War Machine because you just keep coming forward. There's no stopping you.
You gotta have something, right? If you don't have any skill.
a lot of fighters don't have it. Like obviously you see fighters, they give up. I watched one not long ago on Bellator, and a guy got hit and he had a cut underneath his eye and he just didn't want to be in there, so the ref didn't even call it like it was a thing of eye poke or anything like that, and he gave up. He said to the ref, "Now I'm not carrying on called his own fight. Whereas you took a lot of punishment in that second fight. Like it might be obviously from over your career having like the soft tissue damage underneath your eyes and stuff like that, but you just kept going. It only seemed to slow you down a little bit, and you just kept coming and coming and coming.
Yeah, my face is not built for fighting. I got these pointy cheekbones. They just split every time. It's terrible.
So, the Ultimate Fighter, how was the whole experience for you? Like, obviously, going to the house, living with the guys, training on days and stuff like that.
Oh, it was incredible. Like, how many people get the chance to just, you know, be part of something like that? And it was just an amazing experience. And you got to learn so much cool stuff from, like, so many different, like, Joe Warren came in there, worked with us. We got to work with Cormier's. Cormier brought in like really good wrestlers and stuff that we got to work with, and it was super cool.
Yeah, it's another thing I was going to ask you. What was it like meeting DC, Stipe, Dana White, obviously Luke Rockhold come in. DC also brought in Michael Chiesa.
Yeah, Max Holloway came in. Yeah. We were like afterwards, like. I went to a fight, just like a local fight afterwards, after the show with my sister, and Max Holloway was like, he was there like signing autographs, and he like walks over and says hi to me or whatever. It's pretty cool.
On the same level as Max Holloway.
My sister was impressed.
I can imagine that. Like, my partner's expressed that I'm talking to guys like yourself, and it's still surreal to me. So, like, I can imagine how you were when Max Holloway came over and said hi to you.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Because people were like waiting in line to go get his autograph, and he comes over and says hi to me.
So, in the house, you had the talent show. I must admit, I was nearly crying with laughter with your act. How was it? Was it like that? Having something like a talent show and stuff like that, just to relax all the guys and stuff like that. Was it good having little things like that, just to take your mind off everything else?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty funny. It was Bryce Mitchell. It was his idea. It was pretty hilarious. he was like, they didn't really want him to. The problem is, like, they were plotting it and stuff, and we have those mics on us at all times, so they can always hear what we're saying. So they knew he was up to something. They were always shutting him down because they didn't want him doing something dangerous.
Like shooting an apple off of Luis Pena's head.
They were talking to him beforehand. They were like, okay, you're not going to shoot the apple off his head, right? He's like, no, it won't be dangerous. I think they had to like compromise and make him hide behind the couch. But
yeah, see, and I like the fact that obviously that you and Mike Trezano were actually getting ready to fight each other. And then you thought, oh, we'll do our act together. Like, a lot of guys wouldn't do that. Obviously, being in the house, it could be hard. Obviously, you have to live with the guy that you're about to fight, and potentially you could fight any of them. So to try and get along with them whilst you're still focused on what you're doing as a fighter, to then, like, you go downstairs when you wake up in the morning and then they're there, it could be quite difficult, I can imagine.
Yeah, I thought it would be too, but I said it'd be super awkward. You'd be like always paranoid about, hey, is he watching me? Or when we're training together. But it was like everyone got along really well. Like Mike was pretty cool. And yeah, it was surprisingly. And I feel like it was a good experience like to be put in that situation because like it builds you mentally, you know, to not be worried about stuff like that.
Yeah, and obviously, like I said, you could potentially fight any of them. So what you'd normally get in like the likes of the UFC and stuff like that, when you have press conferences and you try and get in your opponent's head, the only one that sort of really done that was Delaney Perry.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone else just sort of stayed calm and got along sort of thing. And Delaney Perry just wanted to mix it up a little bit and try and get in the heads of fighters and wind people up, so to speak.
I like Delaney. He's an interesting guy.
And obviously, you have to keep yourself busy in the house. And like I spoke to Jay Cuccinello on Wednesday, I think it was, and I spoke to Luis Pena before. And Jay said that he wrote a journal every day, and he's now actually putting out on a daily blog on the internet on his social media. I haven't actually got around to doing it yet because I'm involved with a page on Facebook. I'm involved with MMA UK. So we'll be doing Facebook Live interviews and stuff like that. So I am going to get around. I'm going to read them all when they're all out. But yeah, keeping yourself busy. You decided to build a boat out of water bottles.
Yeah, there were so many water bottles laying around. Like we were, they were constantly, like we would go through so much water. And I was just like, hey, I should do something with all these water bottles because they were just stacking up. And so I started like taping them together in sets of 13. And then I was like, going to build something out of them. I was going to try to like rig. We had like a bike. I was going to rig that up on there with a paddle. And they shut me down on that.
I can imagine like it. I bet it's hard to try and find stuff to do, obviously, because once you wake up and then you go, you have your set times to go training. And then when you come back from training, you've either got to wait to go training again. But when you come back and you've got the rest of the night to do, you've got no TV, you've got no mobile phone, you can't even read a newspaper or anything like that. I think is it quite hard trying to find stuff to do to keep yourself focused and not be lazy in a sense?
I thought it would be, I thought it would have like a bunch of free time. I brought like a book to read because we were allowed to read like the Bible or the Quran. And so I thought, well, I should bring something to read. But honestly, I didn't like, I only read like a chapter, like I had no free time because like there's so much time involved in actually filming the thing that you don't think of. Like they have to, we have to wait on the cameras before we can walk into the gym. And then they have to do interviews all the time. Like I was busy the whole time. I never had any free time. I mean, I didn't really get to train as much as I would have liked to.
Yeah. I seen the clip when you said, when you went to the racetrack and you said, oh, we went to the racetrack. It was pretty cool. I'd rather be training. See, quite a lot of people are like, yes, we're out of the house. We're in the house so long. We only train this time. It's good to get out the house eventually, obviously being there for 6 weeks. But you were just like, I want to train. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It was surprising how little time you actually had. There's like so much time involved in actually the filming of the show and stuff and just doing this or that. We really didn't have a lot of free time.
So from the training that you've had outside of the Ottoma House to what you're used to day to day, was it a step up to what you got in the gym with the Ottoma fight? Obviously, with the coaches that you had and the facilities might be slightly different, but was the actual training, obviously, you know, you're training with guys, other 16 other guys that are all undefeated as well. Was it a step up to what you're used to?
Honestly, I prefer probably my home gym as far as like quality of training, maybe, but it was super cool, like getting different perspectives and learning different, because you're training with people. Like, even though I'm training with my teammate Stipe, we didn't actually have my home team or whatever. It was just it was Factory X, I guess he brought in. The coaches from Colorado, so and like a bunch of good fighters, so we got a bunch of cool new stuff that I've never seen before. So it was really fun, but as far as like fight prep and people knowing me and you know, preparation for fight, I feel like I get a lot more training at home.
It's more
time
to train. More dedicated training, obviously, because that was one of the things I was going to ask as well. Was it hard being told basically to when to train? Obviously, if you're at the gym at home, you have set times when set classes are on or set people like your team are at the gym or anything like that. But when you're in the house, you obviously you've got this time to train. You go and train at this time. Is that a lot harder than when you're at home?
Yeah, I mean, because normally, I mean, I hang out at the gym, you know, all the time. I'm drilling, I'm practicing things that I learn. I'll learn a new technique. You got to get those reps in to make it instinctual, you know? Just not being able to have the time in the gym that I would have liked to, but I was able to like to kind of work out with the tree, and I felt like I was able to make it work. But
yeah, well, that's one of the clips we've seen on the show as well. And I can't remember who it was that called it, and they were like, "Oh yeah, he's." I think it was Jay actually, and he said, "I haven't quite grasped that his concept of what he's doing and stuff." He says, "But every day he's out there practicing double leg takedowns on a tree." He says, "It's really weird." He says, "But I can see his method in it." But like I said, I suppose you've got to try and keep yourself busy in the house, like for the little spare time you get. And you saying you don't get as much dedicated training time as what you do when you're back home. So any little things you can do in the house to get a sort of training method in there, you're going to take it.
Yeah, and we're learning like at home, you know, it's not like you're learning crazy new stuff every day. Here I'm thrown in a situation where it's different people and everything I'm learning is new and have all these crazy new techniques I want to practice, but I gotta I'm just going to forget him if I don't do it and build that mile in and strengthen those neural connections. So I've got to just physically make my body go through the motions to try to retain that.
So as you said, you had obviously you trained with Stipe. Did that give you an extra little boost going into it, knowing that obviously you didn't know until when they come out that, well, you might have because you trained with him, but some people didn't know that they were going to be the coaches. Did Stipe let you in that he was going to be the coach?
No, I had no idea. We were actually like, we were gone before, I guess before they knew. There were like all kinds of rumors that it was going to be Mighty Mouse, Demetrius Johnson and stuff. So we didn't know who it was going to be. And then we were kind of stuck early because I guess there were some contract disputes or something, but something was holding up the coaching for a while because we were out there a couple of weeks before we got like coaches.
So did it give you an extra boost knowing that Stipe, your coach or your training partner, was one of the coaches and you were on his team?
I don't know what you mean by boost, but
did it give you a little bit of a confidence booster that obviously because he's one of your training partners that he was coaching your team?
I don't really need a confidence boost. I'm pretty confident. Like, confidence isn't a problem for me. Maybe overconfidence.
Did it make you feel more comfortable that he was there, in it, so to speak, obviously, because like they say, it could be a daunting process, obviously, and you're learning new things. But when you go into the house, if you as different people, you're all undefeated fighters. So you're all undefeated for a reason, because you've got good game plans. You've got good fighting. You've got good training. You've got good fights and everything like that. So if it was a different coach and you've gone in there and then they obviously it's extra how am I going to put this? They know different techniques to what you do. So it's extra artillery for you, basically. It's more stuff to put in your locker that you'll learn from them.
Yeah, it was nice to have someone that kind of knew me in there. So that was nice. But then also it's kind of cool to like branch off and, you know, do stuff different. So I kind of got the best of both worlds because I got Stipe, but then I got like a totally new team because it wasn't like he brought our coaches from our gym. He just
brought in a different new team.
Yeah. So it was like a bunch of different coaches. And also I got Stipe, so it was cool.
So you fought Mike Trezano in your second chance. We'll get to that bit in a minute. But I spoke to Jay Cuccinello, and he was the same as you. He wanted that second chance. And he done everything he possibly could to get that second chance. And you seen the opportunity as well to grab Dana White and say to him, look, I want this second chance. Was that because obviously you didn't feel that you had enough? You didn't have as much of a chance, obviously, from your first fight to showcase your skills and showcase what you were about as a fighter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always looking for another chance to fight, but I mean, I would even if I would have won, I would have liked to jump in there a second time, but or a third time. But plus, you're fighting on television, so you know, the more the better. But I just figured there's no way I'm getting the shot. I better do everything possibly that I can. I imagine other people asked them too. They probably just didn't get put on the. They probably just didn't show that because they didn't get picked, I imagine.
So how was it meeting the boss?
It was different. I don't know. It wasn't. I don't know.
See, to me, I'd be a little starstruck. Obviously, usually the guys that I watch on TV, I'm still a bit starstruck talking to you. So obviously yous are in that environment and knowing what yous are going into. So did you have time to compose yourself? Like, okay, right. It's this person, that person. I'm going to meet them anyway and see them. So it's kept yourself level headed.
now, like, I don't really get starstruck. I just hate talking to people in general, so I had to kind of pump myself up to go talk to them. But I just hate talking.
Well,
to
I
people.
Appreciate this conversation even more now you've said that.
But it's good for me because I'm kind of antisocial. So if I force myself into these situations, it will help me grow, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll get better.
So obviously you can't say much because it's not aired yet. Any future plans for you? Obviously you're going to stick at it, and what's next for you?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep fighting until I'm like 50 or so. Going to see, hopefully I'll get better. And yeah, obviously looking to be on that finale, but we'll see what happens.
Well, obviously, Luis Peña is already on it. That's been announced. Have you spoke to the UFC since?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good sign. I know you can't say much, but we'll take that. That's it. We'll leave that at that. So, right, I'm going to thank you for your time. I'm going to let you go back and enjoy the rest of your day.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate you talking to me. If you've got any sponsors or teammates or anything you want to shout out, then fire away.
I don't really have any sponsors, but check out Cody the Wolverine Stevens. He should be in the UFC.
Good stuff. All right. So, yeah, again, I want to thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. Look forward to watching you fight again. And I'm still looking forward to the rest of the show as well.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're a character and you bring the entertainment to the show as well. And you're a hell of a fighter.
Yeah. Someone at the gym, they told me, hey, you were great on the show, except for the fighting part. I'm kind of what the show's about, but...
If you're still getting recognized, you're still getting recognized. As they say over here in the UK, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Well, I'm giving it a shot to see if that's true.
Okay, thank you for your time. I just want to give a quick shout out to CBD Life UK. If you go and check them guys out, great products and stuff like that. I will be running a competition with them this week, hopefully this week. If you order any of their products, use Monstars 15. Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout out to CBD Life UK. Go and check out their products. I will be running a competition with them this week to give away some free stuff. So check them out. If you order anything, when you go to the checkout, use discount code MONSTARS15 to get 15% off your order. And also go and check out Ultimate Fighting Outlet as well. They can be found on Twitter at UFO_MMA. They do everything mixed martial arts wise, from kickboxing to Muay Thai to MMA, from anything from wraps to gloves to shorts to t-shirts. Go and check them out as well. If you do order anything off them, use promo code MONSTARSMMA and get 10% off your order.